last two pages where two best friends who love to read just can't keep it to themselves. I'm Teresa.
And I'm Megan. And on this episode, we'll be talking about our favorite things.
Favorite things and things.
That was so much more clear when you said that. So much more clear than what I said.
I'm, if anything, clarity.
If our love.
Oh my gosh. What year did that come out? I think that had to be like a 2008. Like, I feel like that's one of the songs that came out later than I think it did. Or earlier.
I disagree. I think it was like 2013 or something.
Oh.
I love Zed. It's great. That album's great. How are you?
You've listened to that whole album?
Yeah, like regularly. So like when I'm getting ready in the morning, I'll play
EDM.
I don't really like a lot of EDM, but like Zed, love Zed, especially the like song with Hayley Williams in it. The Stay the Night one. I like Clarity. I like that. Like I liked so many songs from that album. I was like, screw it, I'll just listen to the whole album.
Hayley Williams is Paramore.
Me, yeah. Me and Marley, my sister, would like, when we're getting ready for like a wedding or like some event that we're both going to, I will press play and we'll both drink a Red Bull and just slap on makeup and like do our hair. And like, it's great. It's just like that vibe.
Not the slap. Okay. I could understand that.
So, you know, that's like, I was like, oh my God, clarity.
And that's me.
You, for sure. Mm-hmm. How are you, Miss Clarity?
Now that's going to be stuck in my head for like 2 years.
Better than that JoJo Siwa song.
Shout out.
Not sponsored.
Shout out Karma. If you came out in a different year and were by like Jeffree Star, you would have done wonders.
You would have won. You would have been great, but alas.
Jeffree Star's MySpace era.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would have hit. I am good. I'm really good. I'm just chilling in life and in space and time.
You went to the zoo this week.
On this astral plane. And the wolves were howling.
That's so cool.
That never happens.
Right.
Never ever. And the Burmese python was swimming. And the bears were still hibernating, which is fine. Whatever.
You're personally victimized by the bears.
The Komodo dragon was like up close. He was just taking a nap, but... Oh, and the tapir, it's like this,
the thing. Weird like, like a capybara, yeah, but like a pig,
huge and like mixed with an anteater,
yeah,
and then like has a weird nose like the vacuum from Teletubbies,
right?
He was walking around. It was a good day to be at the zoo.
I love that for you. I love the zoo. The Minnesota Zoo is great.
They have a monk seal right now. Not a monk seal. It's just a seal, I think.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Be a monk seal. They don't have the dolphins anymore.
That's probably for the best, honestly.
Oh, and then a little shark laid an egg, and they don't know how that happened. Because I think it was like it was another one of those like Virgin Mary like fish things, you know, like
Like they're evolving.
No,
what is that with like the animals one, that do that?
The one recently. No, what was the one recently that like in a tank full of sharks? Some fish, it like is pregnant and they have no idea
yes,
how it
I know
happened.
All the aquatic drama.
No, this has happened. It was a thing. Yeah, a little cute little tiger shark, and we got to see the little baby.
Oh, very nice.
Very good. Nice. Day to be at the Minnesota Zoo.
We love the Minnesota Zoo. That's fantastic.
Went to the Wings and Things shown, so
oh. The birds,
Wings and Things.
Oh, what were the things?
There was a porcupine. Oh, okay. And there was, oh, I've been to the Wings and Things show like 3 times. They've all kind of blended together. They've got a parrot that talks. He says, I love you.
I love you.
And then he says, oh, can you, they like, oh, have you been to France? And then he goes, wee, 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 wee.
You'd make a great parrot.
No, I'd be a great animal handler for like a Wings and Things show, because frankly, the acting of the two women in charge, awful. I don't believe you that porcupine just came out of nowhere and is walking across the stage, and they're like, oh, how did he get out of the cage? And then all the kids are like, what? And I'm like, I don't believe you.
Maybe because you're an adult.
Whatever.
Here's the thing. If they acted like an animal actually got out of the cage, like, there would be, like, panic.
Be a little more believable.
Okay.
Be like, whoa, porcupine. Right? More believable.
Where did you come from?
How did you get out of your cage?
See? Yeah. Yeah, sure. Sure. We were talking about this earlier, but I don't believe that Teresa could ever be like a pet owner.
Oh.
Because my cat Nova just like does not respect her at all.
Nova just doesn't respect me. And I spent way too much time with that cat for her to not respect me. And frankly, I'm over her ish. I will eat her.
Okay. I picture Teresa more of a like animal companion person. Like you could never be you would have a hard time disciplining an animal.
Actually, no, I'm really good with boundaries when the animal will fucking listen to me. This is okay. Why I'm a dog person.
Okay. Yeah, cats are not those things that you can just like sit. She's laying on your jean jacket right now and it's very cute.
I know. She's like cuddling with my bang bomb. So like
she loves you.
But, I know. We're just siblings at this point.
Right.
You're
right.
Our mother. We suckled from the same teat.
No, you did not. No, you did not. Neither of you have.
Out of the same ovary. No, just me. Just X. I haven't.
X that. No.
It's like Schmidt from New Girl.
Never seen it.
Oh, the cats will like have a weird thing for his nipples and they're like, something's definitely coming out. Every time he sleeps, there's like a cat with like lap at his nipples.
Right. Right.
Are you?
The less and highly favored. I'm
goodness.
Great. I know. No, I'm doing okay. Not much to complain about. Not much happening. I just visited Parker and that was great.
My partner, Parker.
My partner, Parker. We got into a little bit of like a... He was like, why do you call me your partner? I'm your boyfriend. I'm like, yeah, but I don't know. I just like have started saying partner. And he's like, enough with that PC bullshit. Like, I want to be your boyfriend.
That's true.
And I was like, okay.
He likes to be...
a man. Yeah, I kind of understand that because I'm like, I don't like, I like for him to call me his girlfriend.
Yeah.
So I'm like, that's kind of valid. I understand that. We never really had that conversation about like what our titles are because I never really felt like we're dating.
Because it should be fiance.
No, but that's okay. It was really good to see him, and I read a lot of books. I finished the Shatter Me series this morning.
Strong man he is.
Yeah, it was great. It was great to watch him throw at track.
Throw big metal far.
Yeah, that's what he did. And it was great.
Metal on a string.
It was a good time. I think I slept so much. Like I just was sleeping and I like that was great to just like finally rest and not have to like worry. It's fantastic.
Honestly, that's how I feel like 2 days ago I had to work at I had to, like, be leaving my house at, like, 7:30, and I finally, like, was in bed at, like, 7.
Wow.
I also had a headache, so that helped. But I was like, I'm going to bed.
Bedtime.
I just watched Cody Ko and Brittany Broski, and then I watched Brittany Broski and Trixie Mattel for, like, 3 hours. And then went
to bed. The pipeline.
It was nice. And then I was, like, woke up. I'm like, oh, yeah, this is what happens when you get more than 8 hours of sleep a night. You're well rested. I read somewhere recently that women apparently are supposed to get like 9 to 10 hours.
I read that as well.
And I was like,
yeah, there's not enough time in the day. I get it. I felt like amazing when I slept that much and it was fantastic. I literally like his bed is super comfortable too. So I was just like a rock, like did not move, woke up in the same position, covered in drool, like sleeping beauty for sure. But yeah, it was like a good time.
I love some bed rot.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
I get it.
So this episode we had asked online what people would want to see from us because we were like, you know, we've been doing this for 15 episodes. What do people actually want?
Which is bizarre,
right? I think it's crazy.
How have we been doing this for already?
I don't know. I feel like it just started and also that we've been doing this for years.
Such a fun little silly thing.
Right.
Everyone should do it.
Podcasts are for everyone, honestly. Just get a mic and just talk about it. I don't know.
Like, who cares if no one cares about what you're saying?
I care. Well, and clearly some of you do, so it's a good time.
Who cares if no... Well, no, like, for, like... For real skis, you know? Like, it's just fun.
As opposed to not real skis?
Yeah, I don't know what I'm saying. I went on a tangent and I didn't know where I was ending.
It's okay. But some of you said that you wanted to learn more about who we are as the Blonde Registry and the Wild Spines and the faces behind them.
Not Teresa and Megan.
Well, yeah. Consequently, Megan and Teresa. So we wanted to just talk about all of our favorite things. And maybe you guys have some similar ones. Maybe you don't. But
I am a consequence.
What? Name a consequence.
You said consequentially.
Oh.
And I am a consequence.
That's actually very true.
How did your parents reprimand you growing up? My mom made me write essays.
Yeah, I didn't have to do that. It was a lot of...
Then she'd go, are you quibbling with me? And she would say 50 more words. Lori.
Mine was writing an active... or like writing out my sins.
Oh.
And then also being
what? I mean, I had to transcribe the Bible for a short time and then my mom was like, this probably isn't good, so that stopped.
That's valid. But, yeah, but no, then mine was like, you're gonna do a like act of contrition and like
that's think hilarious. About all of
what you did. But then like it depended on the age I was. I've had my mouth washed out with soap. Oh. I've been like put in timeout several times, but that didn't super work on me.
Yeah, I talked about recently with my mom. I was like, I do kind of swear a lot, and I've tried to reel it in.
Why you're
the
looking
podcast.
At me? Like looking at me? Like you no. swear a lot to me?
No, in general.
Oh, okay.
And I was like,
you want to move away from that? Or
I I'm worried about like with my new job coming this summer. I'm like. Should probably clean up my act a touch.
You gotta have that Aaron Warner.
It can't flow so easily out of my mouth.
Ooh, yeah. No, I get that. That's fair enough.
Our favorites. We kind of pulled from like Bookstagram tags for favorites and then of like things and stuff, as in favorite things and things. And then favorite books per genre in a bit.
So Teresa, what is your favorite color?
Mine, I used to be so quirky, and then when people would ask me that, and I would just like, if we were outside, I'd say, I would just at like a bunch of trees, and I was just like that. Which is valid, because I'm like, there's too many shades of green. Green's my favorite color, but it's like specific shades of green, like we're not talking neon. We're not talking anything from like a Cartoon Network style, you know?
Yeah.
Not green slime, but we're talking like forest green, like warm greens, not poop greens, because there's a fine line. So like tree leaf color to pine to...
Green in nature is what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
Right.
Mossy greens. Mm-hmm. Lichen greens.
I love that.
Not really grass, but sometimes if the grass is like too yellowy green, then no.
Got it.
Not well watered, don't want it. Which is not the case soon because it's currently raining in Minnesota.
It's great. It's fantastic.
Or at least just right where we are.
Still a good time. A
little bit.
Missed the rain.
Missed.
Did not even mean to do that. That's funny.
No, it's not.
My favorite color is kind of how you were talking about, like that nature piece of it. But like, I love blue. Mm-hmm. Like the blue that shows up in like glaciers.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
that, icy
that
blue.
Glacier blue, or like space nebula blue, like all
mountain
of that stuff.
Runoff.
Right, right. Like Banff. That's what I love. I don't like royal blue. I think that's boring. I don't like turquoise. I don't like
turquoise is a fun word.
Baby blue is like a hit or miss. I don't know. I just don't like teals, but I love like that true blue, like shades of that.
The whitey blue.
Yeah. Things that derive from navy.
Navy and up.
Yeah.
To white.
Yeah.
Not saying that white is on top, but white to white black, white. Horizontally blue to white. Yeah.
Navy to white. We'll be cutting that. No, I'm just kidding. Awesome. Yeah, no, I would say blue. Blue is my favorite color, which is why we, if you noticed, our branding is blue and green, because like that's really our vibe. Even yeah. Like if you notice, if you're on YouTube, the background, our like the way that our set is set up is like this half is all like green, nature, fantasy-esque warm, things, brown, and yellow. Then on my side it's all blue and space. Like, cool tones. So we kind of did that intentionally.
Love to rewatch Star Trek. Oh, speaking of, what's your favorite show
right now? I love anime.
Or I guess, what are you watching right now?
Oh.
I put this as what I was watching right now, not my favorite show.
But that's okay. Yeah, we can do what I'm watching right now. I am just finished Hazbin Hotel on Prime.
Oh, but what is your favorite show of all time?
Oh, of all time. I mean, I loved Cyberpunk. That was amazing. Cyberpunk Edgerunners.
Is it like Cyber Chase?
No, it's how do I explain this? It's
PBS popped off with Cyber Chase, let me tell you.
I hated Cyber Chase, I'm gonna be honest. Which I know. Shocker. But I felt like everyone was just stupid.
What?
Yeah, I hated it. The toucan bothered me so much.
Oh, I forgot about the toucan.
Yeah, the toucan was just so
annoying. A bad guy though.
I know.
Him and what was the bad guy's name? Like Gluteus Maximus or something like that?
Yeah, that for sure.
No, it was something like that.
I don't know. But yeah, Cyberpunk Edgerunners is really good. It's based off of a video game. That's like where the original story came from. But anyone who watched it like has loved it.
Oh, just kidding. The bad guy in Cyberchase's name was Hacker. Oh, Hieronymus Hacker. Hacker's a fire name for a villain.
It's very on the nose.
Okay, that's true.
Yeah, our villain of this book, Hacker.
Shut up. Motherboard was always trying to... Oh, why did I just tie that together? Moving on.
Oh my god.
Cyberpunk Edgerunners. Is it like Tron?
Kind of. It's very futuristic, but I love the story. It's only a few episodes. But I cried very hard at the end. And actually Parker watched it first and cried and was like, "You need to watch this." And I was like, wow. "Parker cried at a show? What the f-?" So, I watched it and I loved it. And it's like I hold it very near and dear to my heart, and I rewatch it pretty often. It's really good. It's a lot about like sacrifice and losing yourself. And I love it.
Word.
Mm-hmm. What is your favorite show?
My favorite show of all time, I'd probably say, is Bones.
Yeah, you've watched Bones a lot. I think in our process of living together, I probably have watched you watch that series like at least 4 times.
No, I think only like 3 times. I love Bones. It's great to like wait till you forget about it and then you can like rewatch it. Me and my sister do the same thing. It's just a great show. Mm-hmm. Love it. Temperance Brennan and me.
Autism. right.
Yeah, maybe that was telling growing up.
What are you watching right now?
I'm rewatching Bridgerton in prep for the new season in May.
So excited.
Very excited about that. And then I've been watching Podarc. Shout out the Ginger Hobbit.
How is it?
It's great.
Yeah,
I love it. It's like PBS always kind of kills with their shows because it just feels historically accurate, and that just makes it all the more fun to watch because it's like
it got that
nitty gritty.
Yeah, it got that. Ow, ow.
There's something about it.
Yeah, it hits a little harder.
Yeah, and then it's just kind of like, oh, people really did like marry people that were way younger than them.
Yeah, that was the thing that happened.
Like when you still go from like a father-daughter relationship to husband and wife. But they're not related.
Icky.
I know.
I'm glad you're like, liking it though. That's exciting.
It's fun. It's about some copper miners in Britain.
Awesome.
Post-Revolutionary War.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think everyone knows the answer to this, but what is your favorite season?
I think yours is more obvious than mine, but mine's not too far-fetched because there's only four to choose from. And mine is summer.
Obviously.
I'm a summer girl. Me and the sun were tight, and I'm really pale in the winter, even though next to Megan, you would never be able to tell. But I could get tan, and I like to soak in that vitamin D.
You do. Mm-mm-mm.
And I love when everything is green and, like, the sun is warm and you can walk barefoot outside and not have to worry about freezing your toes off just to run to the car, to be able to stand in grass and just
exist.
Ground,
if you will. I do like summer. Summer's a great season.
I think we all like summer.
I like anyone that doesn't. I mean, like, there are some things about summer that are, like, annoying. Like, I hate sweating.
That can be.
I feel like everything just is more of a hassle, which is
a hassle. Crazy. I feel like it's more a hassle in winter. See, you have to worry about a coat and socks and shoes.
But like that's a routine for me. The thing about summer is like, oh, the AC is going to cost more. Oh, this thing is going to be like annoying. I walk into my house and it's like 900 degrees. Like if it's cold, I can just turn on a heater
or I could just heat up
some tea. And it's like super easy heat to kind of like tea. Do that. But like, cooling down your house, it's like you just turn on a fan in Minnesota. It's all humidity.
That's valid.
And the bugs. Oh, the bugs.
They're not even that bad in the cities.
Mm, I hate them.
I'm gonna be living in a bog this summer.
In a bog. You will be.
The Rutland bog. I'm terrified of getting Lyme disease. I'm gonna be so real with you right now.
Well,
because you can get like a strain where it like affects the way you eat red meat and it makes you sick.
Right. Well, you know about that one girl we know.
Yeah, we know someone else who got neurological Lyme disease. Yeah, fun fact.
Crazy.
Ah,
she's like has dementia, early onset dementia,
which and, like, is like is relearning
how to walk and like do things. I'm like, what the?
I'm like, if a tick gives me that, we're going to have some choice words for
winter. Mother is amazing. Nature. My favorite season's winter. I know most of you already know this. I love winter. It's fantastic. I think the thing that I love about it is, one, it's beautiful. Right. Two, I think there's much more intention with everything you do. Like,
snowlands on top.
That. But also just like, oh, if I want to go do something outside, like I have to have the intention like, okay, I got to like put on all this stuff and I got to do it. And I appreciate it so much more. That's my thought about it. It's like, oh, I'm going to ski, but I have to like do all these things to get there. And it makes me appreciate skiing so much more when I'm in the moment. Cause I'm like, wow, I worked really hard to like make all of this work for me. And now I'm like having the best time just like skiing downhill.
I did snowboard for the first time this winter, but it was like fun. Right before the season ended. And snowboarding is so fun.
Our season for snow was very short this year and it broke me. It was really sad.
We ain't got no snow up in here.
No, I think we may like we had a lot of snowstorms, but then it would be gone.
No, we didn't even. We had like three, and usually we have like eight
at least.
We never had consistent snow on the ground, and in Minnesota, everyone talked about it.
Devastating.
Yes, we're the Midwest, so we talk about weather, but also like
the weather's crazy in Minnesota.
And usually, you know what to expect,
right?
But this winter was unexpected.
I was devastated.
We had a brown Christmas.
Not okay. I had a brown birthday. Having a December birthday without snow is like, that's the only good thing about having a winter birthday.
It was a stick season all season long. And I love you more
in the season of sticks. Right. So what is your favorite animal?
What's my favorite animal?
Mm-hmm.
Sea lions. I think that's what I decided on. I do love snakes too.
You're a snake girl.
But sea lions, there's something about them. They're so funny and silly when they're like hopping on land. And then one time when we were in high school, we went on a choir trip to San Diego and then we went to La Jolla.
Actually, I think you're right. Yeah.
And there are a bunch of sea lions. And I was taking a picture one. I wasn't being a dumb person that was like getting super close to a mad sea lion. But this sea lion sneezed on me. It was great. Best day ever. A beautiful
experience for you.
Oh my gosh, it was so fun. And I think they're closing down. I think I saw somewhere that they're either like closing down that beach or they're like putting on more restrictions because people are being so dumb with the sea lions.
They really should.
And like getting all up in it. And I'm like, it's like
us.
People at the Badlands. Like right. Who will get up close to a buffalo. I'm like,
idiot.
You want to die?
Right.
Like, seriously. You want to die right now?
It's like the people that are like, elephants are gentle creatures. I'm just going to, like, be close to this. And then their trunk, like, whips them, like, out of the camera frame. And I'm like, you don't mess around with animals.
No. They be doing whatever.
La Jolla was crazy when we went. That was a wild trip.
But sea lions are so fun. And then someone on that trip was like, do you want to see this video of people harvesting sea lions? And I was like, no.
Who was this?
I don't remember.
Oh. I was excited for the tea.
It might have been Morgan. And I was like,
Morgan.
I was like, what? Our friend Morgan. I was like, what about this situation? Because it was like one of those like, not poverty porn, but
like rage bait,
kinda for yeah. like animal rights.
Oh yeah,
and I'm like,
that's rage bait.
No, I don't. Miss Morgan, put that away. I think it like came up on our Twitter feed.
Twitter's like that. You will just like unabashedly get the most random things, or X now, or whatever. I'm never gonna call it X.
But sea lions, they just kind of slay. They're just water dogs.
Yeah, they really are.
So maybe dogs are my favorite animals. The babies are
really cute.
Oh my gosh. And they're like 300 pounds as like
I love them. They're so a child. Adorable. I love the videos of like sea lions swimming for the first time in the zoos.
Oh my gosh.
Like the
fluffy seals too. Like Arctic, like
precious. Precious. Precious.
Oh, I know seals and sea lions are different, but frankly, all together, they're like
really cute.
They're so cute.
My favorite animal is a duck, obviously, but like right. anything goose duck shaped is great. Like, you know what I mean? Like it's the webbed feet. It's the like dopey bodily function. Like how they just kind of like waddle everywhere. It's adorable. Like waddling animals.
That's real.
That like quack Loons? At you and have little wings. I'm like, oh my God, you're adorable.
Loon's name being loon because they look loony when they walk on land is hilarious.
I love it. I love aquatic, like. Right.
That's like a class. If you're from Minnesota, you know how to do a loon call.
I don't know how to do fake a loon call.
Minnesotan.
Not even close. That's fine. I don't know how to do it. Anyway, so yeah, I love aquatic birds. I'd say that's like my, I think they're adorable. I think normal birds are kind of creepy, but like.
Hollow bone beaches.
Yeah.
If you see two geese next to each other, the one with a thicker neck is the male.
Good to know.
Fun fact.
I'm gonna use that in my everyday life moving forward.
No, once you note it, because like when they're mated pairs, like they're just with each other.
Right. Right.
And the one with the thicker neck, male. The slenderer neck, female.
I think geese also just have like this aura about them that's kind of just like, don't.
The way they hiss.
Mess with me. Yeah, like that's crazy. Their whole like behavior is just like, you look so dopey and you're that upset. Like, for what? Also, like, all of the babies are so cute.
Oh, the goslings. Like, the Ryan Goslings of the world. They're so precious.
So, yeah. I think that's it. And I also really like cats.
Oh, widow ducks are so cute.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I feel like that makes sense that you're a dog person. I'm a cat person, though. Especially looking at our favorite animals. Like,
yeah.
Mm, yeah.
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 So, what's your favorite movie?
Oh, my God. Let me think.
Stop. I've been watching too many of those clips of like the senior and the freshman. You know, he's like,
that's disgusting.
Yo, let me drive you home. No, don't walk.
Why are you so good at the voice too? It's like that vocal fry.
He's like, oh.
Yeah. Gross. I have a lot. I have a lot of favorite movies. I think growing up, my favorite was like Spirit of the Cimarron. Specifically the like Bryan Adams soundtrack.
Spirit Stallion of the Cimarron.
Yes, sorry. Spirit Stallion of the Cimarron. Wait. I always just called it Spirit.
Mo just showed that to my nieces and nephews, my sister. And they love it. And the other day, my niece was like, can we play Spirit? Can we play Horses? And she's like, I'm Rain in your spirit.
Yes. Absolutely.
Oh my gosh, it's so funny. And she has this little spirit horse, and then they'll do like the jumping scene over.
That's what you have to do. Okay, so my mom, when I was growing up, we had like this little like playroom, right? It was upstairs. I don't know if you remember. That was like my last room before we moved out of that house. And my mom had a sewing closet, and she would like put on the VCR of Spirit, and I would like rewind it anytime it finished, and the rest of my siblings were all in the room with me, you know, whatever. I got it in my head that I was Spirit. So, as you do, because delusion of the oldest child, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I proceeded to get on the baby gate and like sit there.
The baby gate.
And like jump into the wall that was in front of me. And there was a huge crack from my head on the other side because the baby gate fell as I was like jump. I don't know why I was like, yeah, I'll jump into this wall and it will actually just be like the other side of the cliff. So I fully jumped headfirst into just like the hallway wall.
See, me and my sister, my dad has like such vivid memories of when we would watch it. And every time Rain got shot, we would sob. Mm. Every time we'd like forget that she doesn't die. Spoiler. And we would just like be sobbing. And I still cry to that movie to this day. There's, oh my gosh.
The tears in your eyes are like shining right now.
No, when he's like in the scene in the train. And I was talking to my sisters about this recently. And she said, anytime I was in a car on a rainy day, I'd pretend I was Spirit on the train. And she would like go out the window and like.
Very not a singular experience. Definitely have done that.
It's just the like the horse girl era of like being young. And she said our aunt one time saw her and was like, what are you doing? And Mo just said, getting fresh air. She's like nuzzling the air out the window. And I'm like, that's so funny and so real of that. Like,
I love that.
Spirit, what a great movie.
What a great film. A
soundtrack, Bryan Adams. Ugh. Okay, except for the fact that the noise for the eagle, Red-Tailed Hawk.
Mm.
Not an eagle.
Well, it's Bryan Adams and Hans Zimmer.
Yes.
But yeah, soundtrack the Red-Tailed Hawk, that's...
That's the sound. And many movies did that because, frankly, the eagle's loud screech is nothing to write home about. But a red-tailed hawk is fire, obviously. So they use it in place. I'm like, put some respect on my red-tailed hawks.
Why isn't that the national bird?
Honestly, I will say I love eagles' little chirps. Those are kind of cute.
Mm.
Also derpy, though. They're kind of epic. But they're just kind of...
Eagles are epic.
No, they're assholes, though. They'll, like... wait for an osprey to like catch a fish because ospreys are so much better at fishing and try, like steal their fish, but their nests are, they can be up to like 40 feet.
Yeah, they're huge. We've had a lot of eagles nest near my house or my
they're
parents'
insane
house. How about you? What's your favorite movie?
The classic I always go back to is the 2005 Pride and Prejudice with Keira Knightley. Like, that's forever.
Roman Empire.
Such, yeah, a classic movie. And then I was, like, thinking about it, and I think I really just love movies for their soundtracks. Like, my favorite movies all have, like, epic soundtracks. So, like, the other one, Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, How to Train Your Dragon. No other series, like, give me such a visceral reaction to, like, when I hear the soundtracks. Like, How to Train Your Dragon is just everything.
I think... all of our movies have amazing soundtracks. Because I also wrote down Interstellar and Anastasia.
And I just watched Interstellar for the first time.
Those are all, like, amazing soundtracks. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of them are, like, musicals. But even then.
Anastasia is so nostalgic.
Oh. Amazing. But, no, I love that. The 2005 Pride and Prejudice.
Ugh. It's this, the cinematography is just phenomenal.
Amazing.
And I watched an interview with... the one girl that was also in Hunger Games. Oh, shoot. What's her name?
Oh.
The younger sister. We all know who we're talking about. But she's talking about makeup for that movie. And she said that they would actually use, like, beet juice or different things of makeup that they would actually use in that era, and they would actually do like the pinching of the cheeks to like, and I'm like, there's some, they did so, the costuming and design.
Jenna Malone.
Yeah, it was so good.
Amazing.
Overall, wonderful creation.
Incredible film.
And I could rewatch it over and over.
That really did have a good soundtrack as well.
Mm-hmm.
Felt like, oh.
It takes you back.
The one scene where she's on the cliff looking out and like that,
the wind
that
blowing.
Soundtrack specifically just, or like that like score.
There
just
was a girl in one of my classes who was from the UK, mm-hmm. and her mom lives like 20 minutes from like where that was filmed. And I was like, do you know how lucky you are right now? Maybe it's 20 miles. I don't remember. It was like, it's 4 years ago. I was told this. And I was like,
incredible. I love that.
You live, laugh, loving out there. Mm-hmm. Oh, and that scene right like after that when they stop and there's like this massive tree with like the moss.
I
and she's
was
like
just
eating
about
the
to
apple.
Say that tree is beautiful.
Oh my gosh. I'm like, where are you? Like the set of Alice in Wonderland? Like I want to be there eating an apple while my carriage is being repaired.
So we also wanted to talk about some of our favorite books in
per genre.
Like some handpicked genres. So we brought to the table our favorite books from sci-fi / dystopian, fantasy, and historical fiction, because I feel like that really encapsulates what we read on Last Two Pages.
And
what
I know
we'd like to talk about.
Oh, sci-fi and dystopian are technically two separate ones, but frankly, I don't read enough sci-fi to really compete with Megan's list of sci-fi. So.
Yeah, I read a lot of sci-fi. That's okay. So I feel like everyone knows this by now.
Oh my gosh, Megan, what's your favorite sci-fi book?
These Broken Stars by Amy Kaufman and Megan Spooner. And it probably will never not be that.
Talking of beating a dead horse.
But after our episode about the Starbound trilogy, I talked with the author a little bit, Amy Kaufman, and that was really cool. And she talked about how she has a newsletter that comes out called Finding North, and I read it a lot. And she has a piece of the dress that Lilac wore on the cover and is going to be giving it away at some point. And the fact that that dress exists in general is just like incredible in my brain. And so I got super excited. And then we also got the voice actor for Tarver, talked to us a little bit. And that was really cool. So like, it just is digging even deeper into my obsession with this book.
And the way he like responded to our compliment, he was like, he reflected the author so well in it. I was like, wow. I'm like,
I love the book community. It's fantastic. Sometimes
it really is. I wonder if she listened to our episode.
I don't know. She's writing another book right now, so I think
she's booked
knee
and
deep
busy.
In that. She lives in Australia too.
Booked.
So,
Aussie.
Exactly.
Oi. Aussie.
How about you? His favorite sci-fi dystopian?
Sci-fi dystopian. Frankly, a one that's like a digs deep diversion will always have a special place for me. But I want to talk about Shatter Me by Tahar Mafi. Obviously,
another
I like that
one.
But for uniqueness, I put, not uniqueness. Frankly, Fahrenheit 451 is a hard hitter for me in the dystopian genre. Like, yes, did I have to read that for high school? Yeah. But I loved it. And it's still so good. I was like rereading like what the summary was, and I was like, yeah, this was fire.
Ray Bradbury is a good author.
Absolutely.
So
and I love just like that. I love the versions of Fahrenheit 451 that include matches and like the matchbox lighter thing and a little juxtaposition, if you will.
It's on my list to read this year. So I'm
it's
very
really good.
Excited
it's right
it.
There in our background. Fun fact, you have it.
I did not know I owned the book. I was literally going to get it on Libby. But
no, girl, you got it.
Huh. I forget that I have books up there. Thanks for reminding me of that.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
So next up, fantasy. What is your favorite book?
I have talked about this book on the podcast before. And I might have misspoke about it. It's not a Y choose. It's technically it's like a love triangle. Because I don't know the difference because I don't read a lot of smut. But it is just a love triangle. But it's Legendborn by Tracy Dion. A great fantasy. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's so much, like, the world building around it was just incredible. And it's not hard to digest. It's mm-hmm. a book that I would recommend to everyone.
Yeah.
Where, like, a lot of fantasy that I really like, I'm like, you probably wouldn't like this. It probably isn't for you. And so I feel like Legendborn is the one that I'm like, I give to other people. I was like, do you want to get into fantasy that's not oversaturated? Like, mm-hmm. here you go.
Oh, that's so true. Mm-hmm. One of my friend's moms recently asked me, she said, I know someone who's reading Fourth Wing. Should I read that? And I was like, you would absolutely not like that at all.
There's a lot of people that are reading it that I'm like, why? Does that make sense?
No, that absolutely makes sense.
I was like, you, my corporate friend, why are you reading Fourth Wing?
Because it just blew up. C'est la vie.
How about you? My fantasy girly.
Speaking of reading a dead horse, my top, it's gonna be so hard for Throne of Glass by Sarah J. Maas to ever be dethroned for me, because I feel like it has such a perfect arc and like a total story and growth within those 8 books that is just so
amazing.
And like, people will rag on it because like the first few books are simply written, I would say. But she started writing them when she was 16. And you can like see that growth. And I know people want things to hard hit at the very start. But frankly, I loved that ease in because it made the world building so much easier to digest. Because then every expansion was like a revelation, and she did it so well.
Yeah, the reader was growing with the character as you read them. And oh, that's such a special experience. Mm-hmm. I feel like so often we are just like, the fire hose of world building is like shoved into our gullet. And it's like, okay, understand all this information. And then I'm going to talk about all of this because the author already knows everything and they want to share it so quickly.
Yeah.
So I think it's really special in Throne of Glass that it's just like kind of spoon fed to you as it is the character.
I agree. And the revelations, oh, there's just so many good reveals and reunions. Oh, that's why Queen of Shadows is my favorite.
Lots of tears. Ah! Amazing.
Anywho, love her.
You're a big historical fiction fan as well.
I am.
So what is your favorite historical fiction?
My favorite is Between Shades of Grey. Is that what I said?
Yeah.
I don't know. By Ruta Sepetys. And I've reread it like 6 times. I've had my friends read it. I've had like my mom read it. And we've talked about this before. I know I've talked about it before. It's from the point of view of a 12-year-old from Latvia, I'm pretty sure. Now that that's escaping me. But it's about like the Russian invasion of Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia.
Mm.
And why it like hit so hard when I first read it is I didn't even know it happened. It's such a forgotten piece of history because like they eradicated the history of these countries and replaced them. Like in some cases, Russians literally were living in these people's homes by their names. And they were taking like all the scholars and everyone and like sending them to work camps or gulags. And then it hit really hard for me because then I found out my great grandparents adopted 2 orphans out of World War II, and they were from Latvia.
Wow.
And it was literally like their life, like they were taken to these work camps. Mm-hmm. Their mom passed away. And then their dad was sent to a gulag, and they had no idea what happened to them or him. And then my grandparents, like, adopted them, brought them back to Minnesota. They were raised here, and, like, 20 years later, they found out their dad was still alive.
Wow.
And it survived in that gulag, and they were able to, like, reunite with him. And now the daughter, she's, like, she went back and, like, claimed her family home and, like, the whole thing. I'm like,
that's so cool.
I didn't realize
it's like a special connection.
Yeah, I didn't realize how like connected to that I was.
Right.
I'm now thinking that the book does not take place in Latvia, but my family was from Latvia.
Got it.
And
like all like pooled together.
And Ruta is just a wonderful author because yes, it's historical fiction and the character's not real, but she goes to these places. She's written about a bunch of different things that have happened in Europe, like the Spanish, I forget if it's the Spanish flu or one of the wars in Spain. is one of them. And then I think she has one about Nazi Germany. It escapes me.
Who doesn't?
Real.
Let's be honest.
But she would go to these places and like get an interview, like survivors, and like the characters aren't real, but the stories are. And like these happen to people throughout. And it's not too sad. It's sad enough for you to get across how terrible conditions and how it was, but you're like, you're not leaving defeated.
Oh, there's like a redemption or like some sort of like hope
in the end, even though it's like that. So heartbreaking throughout. And it's like written from the point of view of a 12-year-old. And so it's just her experience that with like her mom and her brother.
Very cool.
Love it.
Love that.
If you need a historical fiction to get into, Between Shades of Grey.
Love that.
What's yours?
I talk about this book a lot. Actually, in my interim where I didn't read books, that like those years of my life where I was like afraid of like talking about what I read and whatnot, I read The Book Thief by Marcus Susak. Holy gods, that so book good. Is incredible. Like, yeah. I love the point of view from death. I love the way Liesl talks about words. Mm. I love like all of the characters had a very specific role to Liesl's life. And it felt in like every piece of that book felt so intentional. And I love the way Marcus Zusak writes. I've read some of his other books, like I Am the Messenger. Mm. Life changing. Loved it. I have Bridge of Clay on my bookshelf too. And I'm wanting to read that. It's supposed to be made into a movie or something. Oh. So I'm excited about that.
Ruta's got that too. Salt in the Sea. Something
like got it. Yeah, no, I just love the way that he writes. And I feel like there's obviously a lot of books about what happened like in Nazi Germany and all of that. Yeah. But this felt like
kind of a major historical.
For sure. That's not like a dig to be like, there's too many books about Nazi Germany. It's it's so like, I would say an oversaturated market of like, there are so many stories about people in concentration camps and like stuff that's happened, and it's incredible that so many people survived that and were able to like tell that story, or people have been able to like communicate that story over and over.
Visiting really cool. Auschwitz is trippy.
That's crazy that you did that.
Like, especially because now that Auschwitz-Birkenau I went into 2016 is now like a museum,
right?
And it's like pretty there. Like, the grass has like regrown and the trees, like we went in the summer, so it was like so bizarre to like, there was so much cognitive dissonance to like be remembering and like reading about like what had happened here, and then it's like pretty and like people are taking selfies and it's just like, this feels not quite right. And then you like go around and then there's this pond where like the demolished gas chambers are, and it's like, this is where they would like dump the ashes. And so they have these memorials for in different languages for all the people, and it was an incredible place to visit because it was just horrifying.
I went to the one in DC. I went through part of it. And that
I think
was,
I went with you.
Wow, that was like crazy. I think we were with, oh my god, we I forgot that we also did that together. Why do I forget about that? Yeah, that trip to DC was
the Holocaust Museum.
Insane. Yeah, I feel like I was looking at some tweets the other day that was about like the room with the metal faces on the ground that you like walk over.
Oh my god.
And they're like, this doesn't make sense. Why would you do that? It's like this feels disrespectful. And it's like, that like the point of art is to make you uncomfortable about the situation. Like, that is the point.
Because frankly,
the point of art. Oh my god.
The Holocaust is too easily forgotten by many people, and the fact that there's Holocaust deniers.
Crazy. That's crazy.
Insane. And I'm like,
the power of media, I say as we're talking on a podcast, but you know what I mean? Like, that's, I want to know what kind of like headspace you have to be in to fully like
think that it didn't happen.
I don't know. I don't exist in that plane of existence, nor do I ever want to. And so I just, historical fiction is so important. And I loved The Book Thief, and it's great. So if you have not read it, I definitely recommend it. The movie actually does a pretty good job, but it should have, like, the movie should have been like 5 hours. Like, I'm being honest. It's only like an hour and a half. And I'm like,
valid.
it could have been everything, and they just could, alas.
Yeah. Damn. The Holocaust was so... I'm gonna, like, spiraling into... Sorry.
It's okay. No, historical fictions are great.
Because they make you think about these tragedies and, like...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They connect you to the people that it happened to so you can't, like, remove yourself.
Which is also why books are important in general.
Absolutely.
You don't read a book with the intention of, like, forgetting the story right after. Or, like, you never should think that that's why you're going to read a book.
Yeah, I'd hope not. Book banning? So be dumb.
For real.
Okay, I get the difference between, like, YA should not have smut, for one. It should not.
That doesn't mean it needs to be banned. It just is, like, what's the appropriate age group?
No, literally.
But I love The Table at Barnes & Noble. That's, like, banned books.
Yeah.
My God. There's so much intention with, like, adding those to my bookshelves.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause it's important. It really is important. We're going to make an episode about banned books. I have decided. We should. We're going
to
do an episode.
I have a lot to say, and I'm like, I got to reel it in.
Yeah. We have a lot of favorite things. You're one of my favorite people, so... Are you...
We just watched World War Z last night.
She keeps making the, like, clicking noise. Okay, spirit Halloween over here.
I would love to be a zombie in, like, The Walking Dead. Like, that. You know?
Right.
I think it would be fun.
So I retract my statement. You're not my favorite person.
Good, because no, you're not mine.
But I am appreciative of the place you hold my life. And
you could still say I'm one of your favorite people. You're
not after that performance.
If anything, that should have boosted me on the list.
You and I have so very different standards.
Be so for real right now.
We were talking earlier that people probably look at us and think that we hate each other in the way that we speak to each other. But our friendship has reached the point of, like,
sibling-hood. Sisterhood.
Yeah, like...
We've been told, or one of our other friends said, I've never known two friends to be, like, so mean to each other. Like, straight bullies. And I'm like, we're not even bullying, because, like, maybe we are to the outside. It's not bullying to us, because, like, we know what hits hard for the other person, and we never touch on that.
No. I can say you're annoying, and you know you're being annoying.
Yeah. Right. And I can say you're...
Choose your words carefully. I'm sensitive. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know.
I don't even just say anything. It's that apparent. Show the audience. This just in. What are we reading right now? Over to you, Megan.
Megan?
Megan?
I'm still reading the Poppy War series.
Slay.
By R.F. Kuang. Honestly, it's been great. I love that in my progression of, like, the last three episodes, I've been like, it's boring, I don't understand, to, like, yeah, okay, I get it. And now I'm like, I am eating this book up. I get it. I understand. What I like about it is that the stakes make sense.
Mm.
I have never seen so many people in a book die in the way that they have, in a way that makes sense in the Poppy War.
Oh, period.
Like, so many times, like, I feel like it talks about the actual, like, devastation that happened in Asia during the Poppy Wars in a fantasy retelling of it.
Was it a real thing?
The Poppy Wars were, well, like, the opium crisis was a thing.
Yeah.
In China. I'm pretty sure. Well, yeah. I'm
shout
in, like,
out,
in that empire.
Not shout out. I was about to say Europeans, because didn't they bring opium over to Asia?
Yeah. Britain did. And they talk about They talk about that, though. Like, the other, I don't remember what they're called right now. Hesperians, I think, are what they're called in the book. But they have missionaries that come over, and they're like, you people are beneath us. Like, your heads are actually smaller. Ooh. So you actually don't have as much intellect as we do. So we know better. And, like, we worship a singular god that's called the Maker. And it's, like, all technological advancement and whatever, and, like, your dirty gods that are just like beasts and manifestations of whatever are beneath us. And it's like super interesting because it's really how the Western world treated so much of Asia during that time, that it's like, oh wow, this is crazy. Dang. That like they're retelling that, or like retelling this in like a fantasy setting, but it still makes sense.
That's interesting.
So good.
UK, I do love you still.
Love the main character, Runeen. Amazing.
It's like the fantasy version of Janine.
Also, I love how like the characters continue to progress. Like she's the main character, but there's other characters like around her, like going from I hate you to we're besties to oh my god you betrayed me to like what is happening. And that's not really a spoiler. It's like everything mixes around based on the people she's around, and like the different empires. Amazing.
Interesting.
Love it.
That's cool.
So that's my little plug for The Poppy War by R.F. Kuang.
I'm still reading Lord of the Rings by J.R.R. Tolkien. I haven't made literally that any progression. I just I felt defeated in a little bit, and then I'm like, I'm not allowing myself to pick up any other book until I keep reading, because my sister and I are reading at the same time, and she's like, you just have to sit down and keep doing it, because she's like, these might ruin the movies for me.
Whoa. Because
they're so good. She's like, she's never read a book series that like can be so peaceful but also like be going through,
not for me,
this intensity.
Oh.
And
I'm not a peaceful book person. Give me the death, gore, and devastation. Well, I want to be depressed after reading the book.
My favorite post I've seen about The Lord of the Rings is that because it's written from the perspective of the hobbits, they talk a lot about food, and they're like, it's basically just one of those recipes on the internet that has like that whole monologue, and then like with the recipes intertwined. Right. Like, that's Lord of the Rings.
That's crazy.
And I won't let myself read anything else. It's been like a month, and I have read like the first like 50 pages. I also just have been busy.
Book slump central over
there. I know. But it's just because I know.
Thank God you read Shatter Me.
Once I like sit down and like get into it, I know it will go easier. And I can't let my sister beat me. She started after me and is like further along, and she has three kids. I ain't really got
any excuse. We can spend the afternoon reading.
Did I bring it?
It's probably pretty inexpensive.
I thought to bring it,
Libby.
So I think it's somewhere in something. But yeah.
Awesome. Well, we hope you got to know us a little better on this episode. I had fun. Did you have fun?
I do have fun. I wouldn't keep doing this if I didn't have fun.
You sound like you're lying right now, but I know that you have fun.
I know. Otherwise you wouldn't. It's not a lie. Sometimes I just am a little too dry when I say things.
We know.
And people don't get the joke. No. It's mostly a joke.
I love your dryness.
Which is usually not the case. Anywho, I had a great time. I hope you did too. Thank you for listening to Last Two Pages and for these two dumbass girlies with microphones. We'll see you on the next page.